You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour in this Thursday. We're excited. Pumped up. I'm struggling, though. I have a Super Bowl pick, and one of the teams I have to try to talk myself out of. I'll have that for you a little bit later on this hour. Normally, you guys pick the teams that you think I might be picking to match up in the Super Bowl. I just have one that I for some reason, it stayed there, and it won't leave.
So that means you should pick it.
No, I want it to leave.
Oh.
It'll be a surprise. Let's put it that way. It'll be a surprise. And I only think there's six teams that can win the Super Bowl.
Is this not one of the six?
Let me put it this way. I don't think anybody is picking this team to go to the Super Bowl. At least I would be surprised if somebody else is on the same wavelength as me. The other team going to the Super Bowl is not going to surprise you. Not that much. I'll have that for you coming up. Phone calls, they're always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning. Good morning to Peacock, our streaming service. Great partners here. You can watch the show. You can see the best man cave in America. Maybe the world. I don't know what Putin has in his mansion, but I don't know if it rivals this. I don't know if anybody has a man cave that comes close to this. But he does have a group called the Putinettes.
Oh.
And that's obviously a takeoff of this program, the Danettes. Seton, Pauly, Fritzy, McLovin, and yours truly. You don't want to accuse anybody of tanking, but last season, it seems like there were some teams who were less than interested in winning. With Trevor Lawrence as the object of desire, the Jags and Jets weren't worried about struggling. Jacksonville won its first game and then dropped its next 15. Jets lost their first 13. And then inexplicably got hot, winning two of their last three. This year, there's not an obvious draft prize because Spencer Rattler of Oklahoma right now seems to be the prize, but it's early. And it's one of those years where anything can happen. You know, the other part of the equation is if any team is willing to give up on the season, the Texans, it feels like they're already in tank mode. The Lions are rebuilding, but they do have Jared Goff. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. A lot of teams are probably a couple injuries away from disaster, but right now you'd expect at least 30 teams to be all in to win this year. Although McLovin is saying as a hot take that the Texans won't have the number one pick in the draft next year. It will be the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to be judging the hot takes. We'll hand out the hot take chain that we have in here. One of our listeners came up with this. Let's recap the hot takes from about 15 minutes ago. I'm going to go to Fritzy last because he came out of the gate and he was on fire for the hot takes. Pauly, I'll start with you. You had a lame one and then you had a really good one.
I forget the lame one. Let's go right to the good one. The Packers will start the season 16-0.
Okay. That's a hot take right there. McLovin, yes.
Does Paul know they go to Kansas City and to Baltimore?
Paul doesn't care.
I did not know that. I did not know that. And that shows what a hot take it was. To not know anything about a team and their schedule and to still make a prediction, I should be on ESPN.
I think that Paul thought that the Packers just played the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears the entire season.
Yes.
Yeah. McLovin, your hot take?
The Texans will not have the number one pick.
All right. It's warm.
Yeah, it's not. I feel unproud of myself.
And the Bengals will have the number one pick.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, it really was. The hot take was the Texans will not have the number one pick. I was reading the room and it wasn't hot enough. So I threw in another team. I hadn't really thought that part out.
All those damn follow-up questions I ask. Seton O'Connor, your hot take.
Mine was that Tom Brady's going to have a career worst year in interceptions.
That is
15 or more. Yeah.
Okay. With the best receiving core in the National Football League, according to a lot of sites. Pro Football Focus has them number one.
I mean, you talk about a quarterback with weapons, okay, here in the National Football League.
Oh, let's go to Jimmy Jimerson.
I mean, you talk about that's my new favorite thing. That's players who are now analysts.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a quarterback who can get things. I mean, you talk about a defense.
And it reminds me of when somebody's doing an interview and it's the laziest thing you can do. Hey, talk about Tom Brady's receivers. Okay. Hey, talk about Tom Brady's greatness. How about you ask me a question?
I mean, you talk about a guy who's got weapons right now. Okay?
That's Jimmy Jimerson. All right. Fritzy, here you go.
I'll give you the shorter version because I know I went a little long-winded, as I usually do. Things are going to go very poorly for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars early. Urban Meyer's going to get increasingly more incensed and red in the face, and we're going to be concerned about his health on the sideline. C.J. Beathard, week 5 at home against the Titans, will replace Trevor Lawrence at quarterback.
Okay, that's the shortened version.
That's the shortened version. Okay. And the other one I had involved the Bears. Andy Dalton, the Bears, will start the season 3-2, including a close win at the Browns. And then when it comes week 6 at Soldier Field for Packers Bears, Matt Nagy will stay with the Red Rifle, will not go to Justin Fields.
That is, those are two hot ones to Paulie's. I'm going to go Todd with the double play with the hot take. So Todd, if you want to get the hot take chain and put it around your neck.
I like my favorite part of Todd's hot take actually was how specific they were. Where they're going to go on the road week 2, win a close one, but then lose to squeaker at home.
Todd looks like a giant 7-year-old. Look at what he's wearing today. He's got a baseball hat on with the old baseball jerseys and shorts. He looks like a huge 7-year-old.
He's like Billy Madison.
I wore something very similar to this in third grade for sure.
The NFL season kicks off tonight on NBC and Peacock with Dak and the boys taking on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Make sure you pick up a bag of Penny's Bang Biscuits. We have the bite-sized treats, perfect rewards during training session or any time you want to say to your dog, good boy. The biscuits are handmade from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients. 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales will be given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. Derek Jeter was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, along with Ted Simmons got inducted, and Larry Walker, also the late Marvin Miller, was inducted. And Derek Jeter said something yesterday. I was surprised he did say this because how often does it come up in conversation, or did it come up in conversation? Derek Jeter, not the best player on his own team. There was a time he wasn't the best shortstop on his own team when A-Rod was there. And why would you draw attention to the one person who didn't vote for you for the Hall of Fame?
Thank you to the baseball writers, all but one of you, who voted for me. And everyone who covered me during my career.
All right. Now, I know that we hear this all the time. And it's usually, well, if Derek Jeter played in Kansas City, nobody would care about Derek Jeter. Okay. That's true. He wouldn't be winning those World Series. He'd still be a good player, interesting player. But is he overrated or overcovered? Because there's a difference. The overcoverage by us made him overrated. He didn't rate himself. He just played. So blame the media. Well, we always do. Blame the media. The media overcovered him. The media overrated him because he's in New York. He's winning. He's dating actresses. This is the media, not Derek Jeter. Jeter went out and did what you want a great player to do. Played every day. He was great in big-time situations. Ended up with over 3,000 hits. Was he a good shortstop fielding-wise? I don't know what the analytics would say. He's not a great shortstop. But he was, if you said there's one guy you don't want at the plate, if you're a fan of the Yankee or the opposition and you're facing the Yankees, it's probably Derek Jeter. I mean, that's an unbelievable reputation. He's got a reputation for a variety of things. That is an unbelievable reputation. I don't want to see that guy if my team is trying to win a big game. But Derek Jeter, does he deserve every vote? No. I mean, Mariano Rivera got all the votes. Derek Jeter is not Ken Griffey Jr. He's not Babe Ruth. He's not Lou Gehrig. Those guys didn't come in even close to getting unanimous. Like, how could you go Babe Ruth? I don't know. Like, really?
Need some time to think.
Like, really? Like, that's where you take, that's where you smack the writer and go, what are you thinking? You take his credential away. Mickey Mantle, he didn't come close to having a perfect, you know, induction voting percentage. I mean, like, who goes, I don't know, Mickey Mantle. I don't know. Yeah, see.
But right, that's why it's so stupid. Like, Derek Jeter's clearly a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not 100% votes.
Yeah, but now just because those guys all messed up 60 years ago.
Well, they did that with Ken Griffey Jr. That wasn't 60 years ago.
No, I know, but now they have to keep doing it because Babe Ruth wasn't, you know, 100% or whatever. They're living off of that dumb 100-year-old voting tradition of, well, if nobody can be perfect.
All I want to know is when somebody says, this is why I didn't vote for somebody. I'm just curious about it. You have the right to be able to vote for whoever you want. And I think that we should hear why you voted or didn't vote for somebody. I mean, whenever I vote for the Heisman, I tell you why I did or why I didn't vote for somebody, why I put somebody first and somebody second. You know, it happens. I voted for Toby Gerhart. He was a great running back at Stanford. Didn't do anything in the NFL with the Vikings. Yeah, you look back and you go, yeah, maybe he wasn't that great. I don't know. I just voting on what I saw, not voting on what I think you're going to do, projecting what you're going to do in the NFL. With Derek Jeter, is he overrated? If he is, it's because he was overcovered. And if he was overcovered, then blame it on the media. But look back through history. Like there, how many people didn't vote for Mickey Mantle? I mean, it might be crazy. It might be like 25 voters did not vote for Mickey Mantle for the Hall of Fame. I would just love to know where you're going. I don't know. I don't know if he did enough. Joe DiMaggio. How do you not go, yep, Joe DiMaggio? Or is that, well, we didn't vote Babe in or Lou Gehrig in, so we got to. Okay, we're past that now. Who is the next guy where you go 100%? Is it Mike Trout? By the way, Mike Trout should aspire to be Miguel Cabrera. As crazy as that's going to sound, look at Miguel Cabrera's numbers. He's going to end up with 3,000 hits, what, 500 home runs, a couple MVPs, playoffs, World Series. But Miguel Cabrera is, like, Mike Trout is unbelievable. But you want to get to Mike Trout wants to get to Miguel Cabrera type numbers first. Yeah, Paulie.
In 1974 Baseball Hall of Fame voting, Mickey Mantle got in. He got 322 votes out of a possible 350. 12% of the people left him off. 35-ish left him off.
I mean, Willie Mays wasn't 100%. And Willie's probably the greatest player I ever saw. But he didn't get 100%. Yeah, McLovin.
How about Albert Pujols as 100 guy?
I don't think so. The first half of his career, not the second half. I mean, it's weird that you know, Griffey was the same way. First half of his season, second half. But with Junior, it was injuries. Pujols, the Cardinals got the best deal maybe in baseball history. We're going to spend this amount of money, 10 years. We're not going to afford you. Angels want to overpay. Thank you. See you later. Yeah, Paul.
If Clemens didn't have the questions, it's first ballot. He has Cy Youngs in three different decades. He has a Cy Young at 41 and a Cy Young at 23.
Yeah.
And that's nuts. But we don't talk about him because he's kind of on the shelf.
But if you look at, he was almost washed with the Red Sox when they let him go.
Yeah. At age 30, 31, 32, he was an average pitcher. And then he went back-to-back Cy Youngs.
Yeah. Yeah. Felt like Bonds was a better player for a longer time than Roger Clemens was. But still, that you can't say, hey, he was a Hall of Famer before he started using steroids. I don't think you're a Hall of Famer if you're using steroids. Like, those two don't really match up there. But maybe that helped Derek Jeter. You know, he did it the right way. He was clean. Yeah, I guess. But I was surprised that he, I mean, look, he was having fun with the one voter who didn't vote for him. But, you know, when you do your history here, you realize there are a lot of players better than Derek Jeter who didn't even come close to that number. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football, has an interesting MVP choice. He will join us, and I'll let him judge our hot takes here on the program. And I will make my Super Bowl pick as I try to talk myself out of picking this one team to go to the Super Bowl. Coming up on 17 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. And it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And that means when it comes to using that Discover credit card, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by this award-nominated program, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We'll get to the popular co-host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, Kyle Brandt, in a moment. Paulie has jersey sales in the NFL.
Do you want to play the best jersey sales in the NFL since August 1st game?
Okay.
All right, there's five jerseys that have been sold the most in the NFL since August 1st. Right. Can you name any of them?
Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Liar.
Nope. He was big in April, May, June.
Okay.
One is...
Dak Prescott.
No.
Liar.
Some don't make sense because you'd think they'd have the jersey already.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is third.
Overrated.
Mahomes is fifth.
Mahomes is fifth. Okay.
All right. A couple newish quarterbacks, new quarterbacks.
Baker Mayfield Jr. the third.
Justin Fields is fourth in jersey sales. Andy Dalton is not in the top.
He's not there. Okay.
Number one, Josh Allen.
Ooh,
the Bills.
That makes a lot of sense.
And number two, this guy is a surprising starter.
A surprising starter. Teddy Bridgewater.
2 weeks ago, it would have been a surprising starter. Now everyone says, oh, I saw that coming. Mac Jones.
Oh, Mac Jones. Okay.
Second in the league.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've only bought one jersey in my entire life, and that was Archie Manning's. I wish I still had it. Let's bring in Kyle Brandt, the co-host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Your first jersey you ever bought was who?
I had a Chicago Bears Matt Sui jersey. Now, that's a deep cut, Dan. Matt Sui was number 26. He was Walter Payton's fullback in the mid-80s, Super Bowl champion Bears. And I liked him because he had a neck roll and a mustache, and that's all I needed, number 26.
Penn State?
I think it's Penn State. Yes, I should know that, but back then... I was six, so I didn't even know what a college was. I just knew what a mustache was because Magnum P.I. had one, and I knew that Matsui did too.
All right, your MVP this year caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
Reveal your MVP pick and your rationale.
The quarterback won for the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. Okay. You know, Dan, we're pressed for MVP picks, super picks like everybody, and I sat around thinking about it. There's so many good quarterbacks. There's so many talented quarterbacks. It sometimes just boils down to the story for me. And I think Lamar's changed over the last couple of weeks. You have the proverbial front runner. Everyone wants to hand it to Josh Allen, and that's great. Maybe it'll win. Mahomes always in the mix. But Lamar's already got this thing where, okay, so J.K. Dobbins is going to be a huge part of that offense, goes down. Then they lose another running back, goes down. And it's like, all right, well, then count the Ravens out. Lamar's having this moment where he's going to have to do it all himself. And I reached deep into the bag and made the John McClane comparison. And the Die Hard poster came out and said, one building, one cop, 12 bad guys. Ooh. That's just the way John McClane likes it. And I feel like Lamar has the fire hose wrapped around his waist against the AFC North, which, again, is supposed to go to Baker and Old Ben. And Lamar's like, well, I guess I'll have to rush for 1,400 yards this year. And I think he will.
I don't know. I think some defenses are going to probably shoot the glass when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Your Super Bowl pick.
My Super Bowl pick will go to Western New York, the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, Dan, there's a million reasons I like the football. Of course, Josh Allen is – everybody's on that rocket, and the pass rush is better on and on. But I grew up in Chicago in the early 90s and late 80s, and I really believe – I feel like I was classically trained on teams that get their nose bloodied and then get over the bully. I never thought that the Bulls were going to beat Isaiah and Chuck Daly and those teams. I was in fifth grade. I thought the Pistons are too good. And in this situation, I think that Josh Allen and the Bills are Jordan and the Bulls. And I think that the Chiefs and the Ravens there, but mostly the Chiefs, are the bad boy Pistons. And just what I saw last year, title game, outmatched, overdone, best bet football still to play for Josh Allen. I think they're going to get over the hump. And I think it's wild. We're going to be celebrating a Buffalo Bills Super Bowl. It's nuts.
Who are they playing?
The Packers. The Packers, who I guess also kind of a Jordan comparison. The Packers are, you know, it's the last dance. This thing's going to be broken up. They have the Kraus situation where it's not coming all back. And the Packers, to me, I have very distinctive vibes to seniors in high school. And this is the best it's ever going to get. And they know it. And they know that some of them are going to go to this college and that college. And some of them are going to go right into work. And they're looking around and they all say, like, let's just have so much fun this year and drink so many of our parents' beers and listen to so much rock music. And I think they're really tight, because the one thing you never heard during all the drama and all the summer, no one takes shots at Rodgers. I really think that those players love him, respect him, and are going to go to war for him this year. I just don't think they're going to be enough to beat Buffalo.
The least interesting team this year.
The least interesting team by far. Well, right now it's the Chicago Bears, because they're playing the second best quarterback on their roster and they're going to debut him on Sunday Night Football on a national television. And it could get interesting. But if Matt Nagy just does the thing where he says, I don't care, folks, la, 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 I'm going to play this guy all year and I'm going to preserve this Justin Fields thing. That's unbelievably tedious, worse than uninteresting.
Yeah, but the thing I don't understand about that logic is Matt Nagy, to save his job, needs Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. If he stays with Andy Dalton, he doesn't keep his job, because they'll move on. And somebody else will go, I can't wait to take over this team with Justin Fields.
It's crazy. You would think if you were going to go down, you'd want to go down with the best athlete. But he is unbelievably measured, Matt Nagy. Dan, can I give you will you indulge me an analogy for the Matt Nagy-Justin Fields situation?
Okay.
And it's perfect for Chicago. Right now, Bears fans are craving a quarterback. They have been for 103 years. And Justin Fields is this beautiful, piping hot slice of pizza that's been put in front of them. And they just want to eat it so badly. They can't wait. But they know, because they're smart, that if they jump into the Justin Fields pizza now, there's a really good chance it might burn the ever-living hell out of the inside of their mouth, because they've been burned before. Meanwhile, they also ordered a Caesar salad. They didn't even know why they did it. They just did it to satisfy the minimum order. That Caesar salad is Andy Dalton. So they're going to go to the Caesar. They're going to take a few bites, and it's pretty good. It's fine. It's a Caesar salad. We've had a million. There's a lot like them. Oh, this is all right. This is all right. And finally, like, enough with the Caesar. In the meantime, while you've been eating the Caesar, pizza's cooled off a little bit. It's still hot, but it's not problem hot. The Caesar walked so the pizza could run. That's how Matt Nagy believes it. He's like, we're going to eat this Caesar. I don't care what anybody says. We'll get to the pizza when we get to it. Bears fans are saying, we've had a lot of crappy Caesar. Give us the pizza. Now we'll take our chances. That's where I think this thing goes.
How did we come up with the expression salad days? Like, don't you want salad days, McLovin, in your – well – I Brant went to Ivy League school too.
So I did.
It's not like I need to go to Dartmouth here.
Yeah, but I mean, he only got in for sports. I was like academic.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Okay.
There's no scholarships at Ivy League schools. How dare you?
Okay. The salad days, that's what you want. You want the Caesar salad days. Paulie, what do the salad days mean?
Should we let them guess and see who's a smarter Ivy Leaguer?
All right, Ivy's. Okay. All right, let me start with Brant. All right, Kyle.
All right, so the salad days, I understand the expression, it's the good times. It's the, you know, everyone's popping champagne after depression. And then when you say the salad days are over, it's crappy and harder now, which I don't really understand necessarily, because it should be the prime rib days or the pheasant under glass days, salad days. But maybe back in the day, Dan, here's my last, maybe fresh produce and the things that go into a salad were considered prestige items that weren't as easy to get your hands on. So that's my definition. What do you got?
Okay, that's Princeton. Now let's go to Dartmouth.
Okay, so salad days, what makes for a good salad? Fresh produce, it celebrates, which comes out in the end of summer, which is the best time of year. So it celebrates summer. It's really a seasonal thing. Like, you know, in old times, how all the holidays were around harvest. That's what salad days is.
All right, let's go to Paulie. Paulie?
I would say they're both equally wrong. The phrase was coined by Shakespeare and Antony and Cleopatra in 1606. My salad days, when I was green in judgment, cold in blood. They said it's a period of youthful inexperience and indiscretion and exuberance. It's about being young and wild.
Okay.
Wow.
Had nothing to do with produce.
No.
Sale.
The SAT 2 is all over again.
See, that's why Ivy League is overrated. We're talking to Kyle Brandt, co-host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. I want you to judge our hot takes that we just had.
Oh, good. Please, I love this.
Okay. They each have one. Now, you're a purveyor of hot takes. Like you're required to have a hot take on Good Morning Football, right?
Yeah, Emmy-nominated show, as you know, Dan.
Yeah. And we were, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Just nominated. Paulie, give Kyle your hot take.
The Green Bay Packers will start out the season 16-0.
I'm going to say that is like a mild paprika, none of the ghost peppers, none of that type of thing. Like it's a 5, 16-0. The Packers are that good and that talented. They might. I don't think it's terribly spicy. I think you guys could do better.
Okay. Let's go to McLovin.
Okay.
The Houston Texans will not have the number one pick in the draft. It will be the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, now we're talking. Now we're talking. All right, that is one of those things. I once read there's a pepper so spicy that they rub it on elephant enclosures in the zoo so the elephants won't go near it. That's getting close to that because, I mean, look, the Bengals got some good players, and maybe they'll Bengal this up. They usually do. But Houston is one of the strangest teams of football I've ever seen on any level, including Pee Wee. And I think right now they are already looking at quarterbacks and not their own.
All right, Seton, you want to give Kyle your hot take?
Wait, can we just real quick back up? Is Shakespeare suggesting that salad has been consumed since like 50 B.C.?
Well, not 50 B.C. It's 1600.
Well, no, that would have been Antony and Cleopatra would have been right. B.C., and that's where they refer to salad days. No?
Yes, McLovin.
But it's like the play Hamilton. Like, he updated old times with current references.
Because salad was the thing that I want to eat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of Hamilton. I saw it with the original cast twice. Okay, Seton, your hot take.
Tom Brady will throw more interceptions this season than in any other season in his career. 15 or more.
I'm just thinking about Hamilton and salad. Is the Olive Garden the room where it happens? I don't know. Yes, Tom Brady will not throw those interceptions. 15 interceptions this year? No. I don't think the Bucs are all they're cracked up to be. I really don't. We somehow in the offseason, because they had a good playoff run, we convinced ourselves that they're some sort of unbeatable Godzilla of a team because they brought back all 22 starters. Those same 22 starters were 7-5, lost to the Nick Foles Bears, lost to Jared Goff, got crushed by a Drew Brees, almost retiring. That's that playoff run. Taylor Heineke gave them the business. They pulled their MVP off the field with a chance to beat the Bucs, and then they beat a wounded animal in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're omnipotent, but Brady's not throwing 15 picks. No way.
Well, keep in mind, there's 17 games this year.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, factor that in. All right, Fritzy, your hot take.
The Jaguars got off to a very disappointing slow start. Trevor Lawrence gets frustrated even more so. Urban Meyer gets so frustrated that enter C.J. Beathard week 5 at home against the Titans. It's time to sit Trevor for a little while.
The legend. That's a legendary take. Urban Meyer, I mean, that's what we're talking about. That show Hot Ones is great. And there's that scene where Stringer Bell, it's like a gif where he's choking on the wings. That's where I'm at with that. I feel like Urban Meyer like risked so much, not only with his career and his legacy, but even maybe his health. And he risked it all to coach that beautiful blonde-haired football Jesus from Clemson named Trevor Lawrence. From his cold, dead hands, God willing, I hope I'm not right, you take Trevor Lawrence. Not a chance.
It's the 40th anniversary of the Frogger video game, and Peacock, our streaming partners, Peacock original Frogger will drop the first 3 episodes today, then drop weekly episodes on Okay, explain what is going to happen with Frogger on Peacock.
It's incredible. It's like, imagine the video game, again, 30, 40 years ago, like you said, Dan, and they take a video game and they make it into real life. Like, the frogs are people. Remember when we used to play and there's the cars zipping along and you got to dodge them? They got real 200-pound, like, foam rubber cars, and people trying to dodge and get across them is the craziest acid trip of a job I have ever had. They said to me, Dan, they said, imagine this. This is once in a lifetime. They said, here's what we're thinking if you want to participate in this. Could you call the action like it's a football game, but make a bunch of 80s movies references? And I'm like, you came to the right place. This is a dream job. I couldn't be more in. And it takes you right back to the arcade. I was thinking, Dan, of the crew there. I was trying to power rank who was the biggest into arcade games back in the day. And they can tell me if I'm wrong or right, but I'm getting heavy Fritzy vibes. I think he was on the arcade a lot.
Probably not to play video games, but just to check out the girls. McLovin, you strike me as a video game guy.
Yeah, I have some records in Centipede and Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
You can see AJP on some old arcade machines in Narberth.
But you were Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, sure. I wasn't afraid to roll a 54-sided die. I'll tell you that right now.
That's what McLovin's college career was all about, Kyle. Dungeons and Dragons and his fake girlfriend from Niagara Falls. Yes, Eden.
Don't sleep on Paul in the video game department. Okay. If anybody here had the collar popped on his denim jacket while he was dominating Centipede, it's definitely Paul.
Like Atari, it sounds like.
Yeah, home and away. I would go hair parted down the middle, go to the local place in Chicago Heights, but at home and television, big in television guy.
Yeah, I was too.
Well, good luck with Frogger. It's great to talk to you. And we'll be watching this upcoming season with Football Morning. Good morning, football. On the NFL Network. Thank you, Kyle.
Dan, you're the best. Thank you, guys. Enjoy.
Kyle Brandt, co-host there. He went to Princeton, McLovin. You only went to Dartmouth.
That salad day thing is shocking.
Oh, I know.
I did not see that coming.
See, I didn't have to go to an Ivy League school to ask Ivy League educated questions. That's the difference.
Gosh, I still am shocked. I majored in Shakespeare. That was my thing.
You did?
Yeah, I was like a big Shakespearean, like, scholar.
Do you think Shakespeare was one person?
No, I don't. Because, and I know you have a lot of theories. I know you've actually been to Stratford-upon-Avon
and
researched.
Yes, I have. But there's a book, Who Wrote Shakespeare? And Shakespeare spelled his name differently. It felt like there was like a group of writers who created Shakespeare's. They wrote under the name Shakespeare. Because I don't know if one person could do that. I mean, I think Da Vinci is probably the most brilliant man ever walked the earth, except for JC. But I don't know if you could have, like, Shakespeare wrote all of that?
You don't mean J.C. Tretter, the Packers center?
No, not J.C. Tretter, the center for the Browns.
Because he went to Cornell, by the way, another Ivy League school.
I like how you're being respectful, but also call him by his initials, J.C.
J.C. Yeah, for time purposes.
Of New Testament fame.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Big first time, long time.
Yeah. Who came up with New Testament? Like, they go, you know what? I'm thinking the Old Testament is just too old. Let's go New Testament. Did anybody, I wonder what the uproar was.
Well, the sales on the first one were out of hand. You're obviously going to have a sequel.
You're trying to get the younger demo, too. Let's go with something more current.
Yeah. Yeah. That Old Testament, I don't know. You got to freshen that up a little bit. It's like when you do a remake of a movie.
Right.
And you're going, why are you doing a remake of a movie? Well, we got to freshen it up a little bit. All righty. I don't know how we got there, but we got there. Yes, McLeod.
Kyle Britt brings out a goofy side of football.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he, very sharp guy. But then he went to Princeton, not Dartmouth. All right, when we come back, my Super Bowl pick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All righty. Last call for phone calls. I'll do my best to get some phone calls. The popular Rich Eisen will join us on the program tomorrow, host of NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Show that follows this one. You guys want to guess who I picked for the Super Bowl? Yes, Todd.
You are going with a rematch of Super Bowl 14, which was in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. SoFi is only about an hour away. The Rams might be the easier pick of the two, but you're going with Big Ben and the Steelers to represent the AFC.
All right. Rams and the Steelers. Okay. McLovin?
I'm going off several clues you've been dropping. Mm. You, I've always said you love defense.
Mm-hmm.
So your shocking team will be the Washington football team.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
Or maybe San Francisco, because I've noticed you haven't talked about San Francisco at all.
No, which, you got to make a pick.
Washington football team versus the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Seton O'Connor.
So I don't have a pick on the matchup, but I just have four teams that I think you're like the ones that you're trying to talk yourself out of.
Okay.
Okay. I have also the Washington football team.
All right.
The Titans, the Chargers, the Cowboys.
All right. One of those teams is on the list that I'm trying to talk myself out of.
Yes. I knew it.
Yes. One of those four. Paulie?
I think you were going to have a team from Los Angeles as one of your picks.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I want to cover my bases. I guarantee there's a team from Los Angeles, one of your two picks.
Okay. You know, I've been on the Matthew Stafford bandwagon before there was a bandwagon, and thought if you're going to make a bet for the MVP, that Matthew Stafford with those long odds. But I will say this. You guys have not picked, nobody picked the two teams that I'm going to pick to play in the Super Bowl. Seton did have one team that I've been, for some reason, I got this umbilical cord attached to the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know why, because I'm thinking, okay, you got a great running back. Tannehill had a really good year last year. They averaged 30 points. They're one of the top scoring teams. You bring in, you know, Julio Jones with A.J. Brown. And then, you know, Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, you've added a little bit to the defense. And I thought, golly, could this be a sneaky pick? But I can't pick him.
Oh.
I know. I promise you, this kept me up last night. I kept going, I like the Titans.
Were you like pacing the house?
No, not pacing. But I'm like, I got up to go get another beer and then came back. But that's not pacing. Yes, McClellan.
If they make it now, you're going to be so mad at yourself.
Okay. It's okay. Because I've talked myself in and talked myself out of teams, it feels like, every year. Like, I talk myself into the Chargers almost every year for about a 10-year period. I go, you know, they got the most talent in football. I'm taking the Chargers. And then you go, ugh. My two teams are not going to surprise you. I'm not picking the Buffalo Bills.
Saucy.
I'm not picking the Cleveland Browns. I'm taking your Kansas City Chiefs. I know.
Gutsy.
I know.
You already feel bad about it.
Really embracing hot take day.
No, because I did this last year where I purposely went against Buccaneers in Kansas City. Certainly Kansas City. I'm like, God, that's boring. But do I want to be interesting or do I want to be correct? That's the dilemma that I have here.
That's the segment, interesting or correct.
Interesting or correct.
Brought to you by. But you can't be both, it feels like. I mean, you might be. If the Titans would go to the Super Bowl, I will be mad at myself. But I will be on the record as considering them. And so I was...
We can edit it so you pick them.
Yes.
The guys in back will make it sound like you
pick them. Okay, let me just do it. And the team I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, the Tennessee Titans. Clip that, Mario. Bring that back in February. So I'm going with the Chiefs. Now, in the NFC, I'm not going with Seattle. I'm not going with San Francisco. I'm not going with the Rams. And I was going to have a Rams-Titans Super Bowl. And then I stopped drinking tequila. And then I said, all right, I gotta come up with the... I'm taking the Green Bay Packers to play the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It's not a hot take. I'm so disappointed in myself.
Who do you have winning said Super Bowl?
I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers, that's his last game as a Green Bay Packer. How's that?
Is it Devontae Adams' last game?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
See, I'm disappointed. I am. Like, I love Josh Allen. I've said that. I don't, you know, Rodgers was wonderful. I have Mahomes winning the MVP. See, it's another boring thing. I couldn't go Rodgers because he, no matter what he does, trying to equal last year. Josh Allen, the expectation level is really high on him. I think he made them better than what they really were. It comes back to Mahomes, offensive line, Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. I have that every week. Yes, McClellan.
How about the Bucs? Were they in the discussion?
Yes, they were. I wasn't sold on them last year. I go back to when they were 7-5. I just think the defense played well. I didn't think they played well until they got to the Super Bowl, and they took advantage of a defensive line that was terrible. You're asking Brady, stay healthy. I'm not as high on the wide receiving core as everybody else is. I think we're basing this off of, Gronk's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't play like a Hall of Famer. He did play well in the Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, I'm just not sure. It's Antonio Brown. Godwin. I like Mike Evans. You got some tight ends there. I mean, they have everything. It's so hard to repeat. And, Tom's the last to do it in 03 and 04. And I know, I always say, I'll never go against Tom Brady. I guess technically I'm going against Tom Brady right now. But if it was Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, I would take Tom Brady, as I did last year. Yes, Tom.
It saves a lot of time for Jake from State Farm. He already had Mahomes and Rodgers together in commercials. They could just kind of keep re-showing those.
Yeah. And, maybe they want to use me in those State Farm commercials.
It's perfect.
It'd be nice if I was Jake's friend coming in. Oh, God. There's so much pressure.
You hate this.
I do.
Because you know what's even the worst part of it? Is that if they're wrong, then it was boring and wrong. At least if you're interesting and wrong, it's like, hey, I took a shot. This is just boring and it was wrong.
Boring and wrong.
Brought to you by... Yes, McLovin.
The worst was when you picked the Saints, who were clearly the best team, and they got the pass interference call against them. That was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, they should have been Super Bowl champions.
What did we learn today, Todd?
As a youth, Eli Manning had his pants pulled down by brothers Peyton and Cooper during Mardi Gras in front of girls. Ah!
McLovin.
Eli Manning also referenced many wedgies.
Seton O'Connor.
Salad days.
Yeah, we know where salad days came from. My good friend Billy Shakespeare. Paulie?
Ivy League. Overrated?
Overrated. Hey, rocket scientists. Look no further than the next big thinker. First in class technology, a leader in innovation and intelligence not seen from an SUV. The 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for joining us. Meet Friday tomorrow. Talk to you then. Oh, but there's one more item as we close out the show. I was watching Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and they were talking about the new craze with collecting, sports cards.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Just crazy, the prices, the value of these. People, instead of investing in art, are investing in trading cards. Could be a Babe Ruth, a Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, Patrick Mahomes. There's so many. Luka Doncic. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And you had some high school kid, he's not going to college because he's made about $3 million on trading cards.
Wish we could have done that.
Yeah. The exclusive trading card partner of the NFL was Panini America, using iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, and Contenders to deliver instant classic trading cards to the most popular players. You got Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, so many more. There's always something for everyone in a Panini America pack. Start or continue your collection right now at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading card of the Dan Patrick Show.